In this week's parsha, we have the following, one of the most exciting moments in all of Jewish history, the story of the brothers, which really begins in full glory right now, and it moves over. Next week's parsha, week after that, we have this big soap opera, perhaps one of the biggest soap operas in all of Jewish history. Of a brother being sold by his brothers, sibling rivalries. And it starts with what seems to be a real lack of social awareness. Here's Yosef. And, he's talking all about, he and his dad have this tight bond. After all, his mother, Rachel, was Yaakov's beloved, his most loved wife. Say such a thing like that. And he was the product of that relationship before she died with Binyamin. And he was beloved by Yaakov. He gave him a special Kronos Pasim. It's not enough, though. Yosef would have dreams. And the dreams got so bad, or so good, that he would tell his brothers about the dreams, and they couldn't even hear him out. Just to explain, and my son last week said to me, Abba, why would Yosef keep on telling the dreams to his brothers? He doesn't require a big Talmud Chacham or a great philosopher to understand at some point in time, it's just not worth talking about anymore, even if you're having those dreams. Pasuk says, Vayiru Echav, Periklam Zion, Pasuk Dalad, Ki Osoa Hava Vihem Mikol Echav, that the brothers saw that Yaakov loved Yosef so much, Vihisnu'u so. They hated him. Lo'echud the brothers so many, he couldn't speak them nicely. And also Yosef has a dream. And the dream was about him being better than everybody else. He's not a 3-year-old kid. He's 17 years old. Shouldn't he know better than to bring us up right now with the brothers when they already have this animosity? So they hate him even more. Before he even told him the dream was, I have a dream, guys. Get out of here, boy. He's like, no, listen to the dream. It's me being better than you and you bowing to me. No? What do you think? And what was the reaction to that? He said to him, you're going to rule over us? But his Sifu Oats know so. They ate even more than they did before him. And then what happens? Another dream. Another dream. And then he has a dream again when he is the man and everyone bows to him. What? And he tells them again? Like, how old? How many times did they go through this process to understand, like, maybe you should stop talking about it? It didn't work the first time. No one appreciated your comment last time. They're not going to like the second one you tell either. Just don't tell anybody. Why does he keep on telling over the story? Question number one. Fast forwarding. I was learning with Tomer Weider, his brother being remembered to the Shabbat, so he went back. We learned yesterday an idea I want to share with you as part of the idea as well. That when Yosef was in Ashes Potiphar's house, and she would constantly be coming to seduce him. Sleep with me, sleep with me. He finally says her the following thing. He says, I can't sleep with you. You know why? Because I have a Masorah in my family. He quotes the Medrash. The Medrash brings it down. That someone is going to be the chosen one. To be even potentially be offered as a korban to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It happened to my grandfather Yitzhak. What if it happens to me? I'm going to be disqualifying myself now by being with you. I don't want it to happen. And the other Medrash says something very similar. He says to his, again, to the... Tej Potifar, that there's been greatness. My family is great. You know, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, they've all been considered like these great people, and they've been the Gedolim. They've been the best people. What if I'm called upon to continue that line? How can I sin and lose my chance to be part of that great line of people? That's what Yosef says to this woman. Now, wouldn't it make more sense from just to explain, like, for real? Listen, the truth is, this is not looked upon well in my circles. This whole thing of sitting around is not, we don't do that. Us, people who are attempting to get close to God, this we can't do such things like that. It's just not allowed for us. Why does he make such like visions of grandeur? What if I'm the korban in the future? What if I'm the melech in the future? Why does not like tell her on a real level? Like, listen, I can't do that, you know? I want to save myself for my wife one day. I don't know, something much more small-headed than this huge statement of what if I'm the korban one day? Like, she appreciates that point? So I wish I could remember who said it over at Hashem Omer. I should really look right now. I don't know if I can while I'm taping it. Can I pause it? I'm not going to look it up. I'm going to look it up right now. I'm going to lose my thing. But anyways, I'll look it later on. But it's Lech HaTov brings this story down and gives the following important idea. And I want to give you a number of examples of it in order to bring this lesson as real as we can make it. If a person would set the bar low and explain, no, I can't do it right now. You know why? And I give it a rationale right now why I can't do it. It's a regular, normal answer that you want to give. Then okay, so right now it's a good answer. And we'll take it for the time being. But we'll look for it another time. Maybe we'll be able to, next time we see each other, we'll be able to, convince each other otherwise. Or work on maybe changing that answer that you gave. If I set the bar high though, I might become a gadol one day. What if I become a korban to Hashem? It's supposed to be me doing it. I don't want to lose out on that. If you look at your aspirations, like you're aiming for like the greatest thing in the world, there's nothing to talk about anymore. I can never allow myself to ever slip up. If I give you a one-liner, Mike, where I come from, this isn't really done so well. Maybe later on, the business and your parents haven't looked for you. Your brothers hate your guts. It's just, you're not there anymore. But the moment you put your heights, your sights on this unbelievably high level, then you will never accept failure, and nor will failure ever chase you anymore, because you've dismissed it. The moment he spoke to Ishpatifar that way, he knew about himself that he would never fall prey to Ishpatifar. That's what the Medrash is telling us over here. Again, when you realize that you're on a path for greatness, that every single decision that you make matters. It's not just one time moment in time that matters. Everything that you make is going to matter in the end. What Yosef was saying to his brothers wasn't, "Stop, I want to tell you a dream that I had, and you hit me for it if you want to." He was saying, "Listen, I know you don't like to hear this at all, but you have to understand who I am. I'm not going to win any good races by you. You're not going to like me after I tell you to, but I don't have a choice right now. Sometimes in life we make a decision that's in our best interest. No one likes it, it doesn't matter. You must understand who I am, who you're talking to. You're not going to like it. You're going to hate me for it. But one day I'm going to be the leader. And you got to know that about me. Why? Because I have to know that about me also. I need to know that I'm going to be a leader one day. Because the more that I know that fact that I'm going to be a leader one day, the less I care what people think about me. The less I care what the Torah tries to do to me. Because I know about myself that if I give in even one time only, then I've ruined my greatness. I'm going to be an average guy, and each thing is going to make his independent decision, so I win some and I lose some. If I'm talking here about record-breaking opportunities, the best version of myself possible, that I want to be a goggle one day, I might be the leader one day, then I can never afford to let my guard down. I'm going to tell you all about it. And you may hate me for it, but I don't care. I can't rely or can't worry about what you think about me when I'm going to be the great leader that I'm supposed to be in the end of the day. When it came to Hanukkah, it was the same exact thing when it came to Hanukkah. I forget who asked, maybe basically they asked the question. I forget who asked, maybe basically they asked it. He says, "We found one flask of oil. Why didn't we take the wicks of the menorah and just pull them into eighths?" We're learning right now in Maseches Shabbos about the din of oils and wicks, and we know that an oil will last a certain amount of time. A wick lasts a certain amount of time. Why not just take that olive oil, that one day's amount, put each wick into an eighth of its size, split up each day into an eighth of the oil, and it would light the whole night with a very small flame. Why not do that? So I heard one time, again, I think maybe it was basically, I forget who said it, is that we did not want to do something bidi eved. We might have only one night of Hanukkah lit, and the rest of the nights we'll never have any candles or oils left. Okay with that still or no? We're good? We're not willing to give a power of job. I'd rather go down trying my hardest, aiming for greatness, than to give you a small version of myself to share with the other 8 days. I don't need to share. I want everything that I have to give to you. If I have a chance to be great, I cannot pace myself. I can't hold myself back. I can't divide my wicks into eights. I'm giving you everything I got, and God, you do whatever you want. And Hashem rewards us with a great miracle to tell us it's exactly how you're supposed to live your life. We found one flask. It was a miracle that we found it. And we're not prepared to hedge afterwards. I'm not going to try to just get a little bit out of each day. I want everything out of every moment in time. Because otherwise, I will never become a gadol. And I want to become a gadol. I have high sights for myself. It's a famous story. Rav Mordechai Gifter, Rav Shiva, tells Yeshiva. So he was a young boy, and instead of collecting baseball cards, he collected Rebbe pictures. Rebbe pictures. And what his father was glad to do an album that he had one day. It wasn't baseball cards, it was Rebbe pictures. He had a big photo album, Rebbe pictures, this page, that Rebbe. And towards the middle of the page, there was a book, there was a page that was empty. And he's like scratching, he said, what's going on over here? Maybe the picture fell out, looking at the floor, you don't see any pictures there. He goes to his son, you know, Mordechai. A picture fell out of here? No. You got pictures before and pictures afterwards. What's going on here? He says, one day, I hope that my picture, set up that page for me. One day, I hope my picture on that same page. And he became a Shiva Tells because he wanted to have his picture in the Rebbe page. He set his goals, his height so high, there's a chance he'll make it. I sent a picture to the WhatsApp group that we have in our morning shir. If you didn't see it yet, you'll see it later on, not right now. In the Yeshiva High School of Greater Washington, near where I grew up, is a wall. And in the wall, you're surrounded, you look in the wall, and there's pictures of Rebbeim, of Gedolim, 7, 8, 12, whatever it is. And when you stand right across looking at it, you see something unbelievable. You see you. Because right in the middle is a mirror. It says, why not? Why not you? Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Cook, everyone. And then you see a picture of you. I took a picture of it, me taking a picture. You see the picture of the mirror is me taking a picture of it. But you see a picture of all of Gedolim, and there's a picture of you right in the middle. And it says, why not you? If you walk by every single day in the hallway, you just stop for a second, and you look, and you see everything in front of you. Yeah. Then maybe one day you can become a gadol. And if you have that attitude, maybe one day I'll become a gadol, then no decision that you ever make would ever be just like dismissed or ignored. You're the man. If you don't make a decision the best way possible, then everything falls apart. You never reach those great heights. There was a famous baseball player called Pete Rose. You should have all heard of him. If you haven't, shame on you. Shame on you. He's a legendary for having set the most baseball hits in a career. He broke the record of, I think it's Ty Cobb. He said the most baseball hits in a career. Tremendous. No one's ever come close to it since he's done it. He also is famous for having gambled as a baseball coach on his team and therefore got kicked out of baseball. It was never accepted in the Hall of Fame because he was banned from the game. But more importantly, I'm focusing on the first thing that he did, not the second thing he did. Before the season began, he was, I don't remember how many hits it was short, but let's say he was 48 hits short of breaking the record. And as you can imagine, that's all we're talking about the season started because they knew it was going to happen that season. He said, Edson Pete, he's interviewed for this. How many at-bats do you think you'll need to break the record? So that's your picture. I don't know if the guy's going to say, at that point, his career is like 42 years old. Maybe he's a 270 hitter, 48 at-bats. I don't know, maybe, whatever, pick the number you think. 200? He says to him, how many hits do I need? 48. He says, 48. No one's ever had a 48 at-bat hit streak. That's ridiculous. It's impossible to imagine it. No one's going to be able to do it. But he says to himself, what do you mean? You think I'm going to go out to a bat and not expect to get a hit? Again, I don't know what the most hits anyone ever had in their life was. But I don't know if it ever hit double digits even. More consecutive games. Joe DiMaggio was 56. Is that what it is? Can you imagine having 48 consecutive at-bats with a hit? It's a ridiculous statement to make. But what he said back then was so genius. You think I go up to the plate planning not to get a hit? I have 48 hits needed, so I said 48 at-bats. Who would say otherwise? Well, we all say otherwise because we know percentages don't work that way. That means you don't expect to be great. Greatness means I will never accept myself not to be able to get 100 with everything that I face. That's what greatness is. Yosef said to Yisrael Potifar, I can never be with you because I might be that second person in history offered as a korban. The first one is my grandfather Yitzhak, maybe I'm number two. It's a ridiculous thing to say. It's such a far-fetched thought. But it's the only thing he knew that would keep him forever aiming the right direction. Because any other excuse he would give himself, at some point in time, it just might lose steam. But to be the best person in the world, the Gadol Hador would never lose steam. L'mashal, you know, we know when it comes to Let's say it's baseball or basketball. You know, let's say a guy is an 80% foul shooter. It means he hits 8 out of 10 shots. He misses every 2 out of every 10 shots, he'll miss. Foul shots at least. He's an 80% foul shooter. Now, because basketball is a game of like, it's like, you know, everything is independent, and therefore you miss to make, it's all looked together as one big picture. But imagine instead of being a basketball game, it was a date. You went on a date with the girl. And you're like an 80% successful dater, which means that 8 out of every 10 dates you go on, you do a good job. The last 2, you don't. So you'll never get married to that girl. She'll never marry you because you have 2 duds. Usually when you have a dud, depending how advanced you are in a relationship, if you have a dud, that's a third date dud. She's like, I don't want to go with that guy. Like, the way he acted on the trip was so inappropriate. Like, that's just not for me. Now, why is it different from foul shooting? Why can't she just take the whole picture of, because we're building something here. If you're just independent moments, moment in time, single foul shot, you can make, you can miss, you're a percentage. But the moment that you're building something, every time that you fall off that bridge that you're building or the steps that you're putting on top, you start again. You can't continue anymore. You broke the streak. You broke that moment. We all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. But if you want excellence for yourself, you will never allow yourself to slip up. People that say we're trying to do a minion streak. And you're really tired one day. You're tired. You don't want to get up. But you know, if I don't go today, I don't go this morning, I mean, my streak of 48 consecutive minyanim, it's over. I don't care how tired you are. You understand that it's not just a moment in time. I'm building towards something much bigger. And just one last muscle and end with this point. You know, when a team's a good basketball team, they make the playoffs, they win a game, lose a game at the end of the season, it might be an issue for home court advantage. It might be an issue for who you're playing first round. Those are very important things. When the Golden State Warriors, when they set a record for wins in the season, every single game mattered. Because when the record's up, that's now in the books. When someone to beat them, they have to beat that number that's out there. Miami Dolphins, every single year, they're the only team to ever go undefeated. You know, it was 14 games, not 16 at the time, but they went undefeated and they won the Super Bowl. The only team to ever do it. Every single year, when the last team who's undefeated loses, the guys get back together and they celebrate their accomplishments. The Dolphins from the 1972, whatever it was, I forget what it was. They get back and they celebrate their accomplishments because another year lives and their streak is still intact. Why? Because there'll be no one as great this year, at least, as that team was. Because they're in the record books. You live one single life. One life. You can choose to take every moment of your time as a single individual moment and challenge. And therefore, you could be an 80% guy. And that's pretty good for many areas of life. It's pretty good for a basketball, percentage-wise in the field would be unbelievable. It's unheard of. But even from the foul line, it's very good, 80%. Because you look at your life like little pieces that are independent of each other. But the moment you want to be something big and special, means it's no longer the independent pieces. It's every single thing in order to become great is a building on top of a building. And if you look at yourself that way, you could never allow any moment in time of a slip-up. The moment that you have that slip up, so you start from scratch all over again. We are not Gedolim. We're not Gedolim.
Not yet.
Not yet. That's right. Not yet. But we have a choice to look at ourselves to one day hope to be a Gedol. If you hope one day, I don't mean a Gedol in Torah only. I don't mean that. I mean a Gedol in life. That means that there's never an independent, isolated decision that you make that will not impact everything else that you do. It's never going to happen. If you want to be a Gedol in life. The problem is we don't have such high hopes for ourselves. Yosef HaTzadik had the highest hopes, and that's what got him through the toughest of times. Because he cared so much about how he might turn out. Maybe God will call on me one day to be that korban, and I'm not going to be ready for it anymore. And every decision he ever made from that point forward was put in that same equation that allowed him to pass test after test. We are not like that ourselves. We're probably not going to be that guy. Probably not. But if you aim for it, the likelihood is you will become a great, successful person in every area. I'll give you a bracha that as you go throughout our lives, and Yosef did this thing without family around helping him out. He was isolated, he was alone in his master's home with his master's wife, trying to seduce him. And he had an attitude that got him through every decision he ever made from that point forward. We should merit to have hope for ourselves, like Pete Rose. How many at-bats do I need? That's the answer to your question. We should merit to be able to look at each decision. That's independent. I can fail here. It's okay. I did a lot of things before and I'm fine. But no, I'm building something big here. I demand greatness for myself. And to Shem, we should be each other's greatest source of inspiration and become great leaders. Have a beautiful Shabbos.